All right, praise the Lord. We are reading a couple of verses there, verses 14 through 27. Let me get myself on the right page. Here we go. All right, Gospel, St. Matthew. We are talking about the cost of following Jesus. Verse 14, Bible says, when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in a bed with a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up, and she began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed. You say demon-possessed? When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. That's Lake, the Sea of Galilee. And when a teacher of the law came to him and said, then a teacher of the law came to him and said, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And another disciple, notice it says disciple, another disciple said to him, Lord, first let me go bury my father. Jesus said, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. And then he got into the boat with his disciples following him, and without warning, a furious storm came upon the lake. So the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. Interesting picture. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. And he replied, you of little faith. Why are you so afraid? And he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. And the men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Lord, we come before you this morning looking for direction, many of us, Lord. Many of us come in here afraid this morning. Many of us distraught, Lord, surrounded by challenges in our lives, Lord, having no concept of victory, no direction in our lives. We don't know where to go, Lord. Some of us have boxed ourselves in, Lord. Through our choices, Lord, we're in calamitous situations. Lord, I ask that you would come today, Lord, on Father's Day. Lord, that you would bring the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would guide and direct each one of us, Lord, as we come to find greater fullness in you. It's that in Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. Everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Joe and I had a busy day yesterday. Joe was in the shower for a little while this morning, scrubbing oil and grease off of his arms. You see, we are indeed pulling the head off of Leanne's new BMW, well, not quite so new, 1994 BMW 525i, because when we purchased it, it had a blown head gasket. It is much cheaper to buy a car when it does not run. Can I get a witness on that? Yes, yes, yes. And so I thought, wow, this would be a great project for Joe and I to work on, that we could learn how to do these things, work on a car. Joe could gain confidence in his life. He could learn that he can overcome challenges. Doesn't that sound good? Yeah. And so he's also going to learn, don't work on the car in a tank top, because you get grease all over your arms. We got books. You know, I'm going, hey, you know, let's read the book and figure out how to do this. And it's a dual overhead cam motor. There are some who would say, oh my, dual overhead cam, not the car you want to start out on. In fact, looked at the difficulty level in the book. From the difficulty level on a scale from 1 to 10, with 10 being completely tearing apart the motor and putting it back together again. This is a 9. But we are not dismayed. We are working the book. We are following directions. We're getting the tools we need. And we're going to find victory, even in the face of this great challenge. Some of us come in here today, many of us come in today, and we are surrounded by challenges. We are beset with challenges and we don't know how to find victory. We don't know how to move from here to there. We don't know how to climb the mountains. We don't know how to overcome. We come and we are seeking avenues of victory. We are looking for directions. We're in this series called Being Touched by God. Jesus was touched by God. We see that Jesus, surrounded by challenges, we read that Jesus moves into this area, comes in. He's a healer, casts out demons, even overcomes natural catastrophe. Amen? Amen. There is nothing that slows down Jesus. And the Bible tells us that he did this because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, we looked at this last week. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. That the power that Jesus moved in and lived by was poured out, was given to him from his Father in heaven, and it was the power of the Holy Spirit. And that as he moved through these situations, from victory to victory to victory, nothing even slowed him down. Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
We're in this series Being Touched by God. And we study a people that are touched by God. And Jesus is called the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist says, one's coming after me who's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He promised that. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And so as we read, as we see the victory that Jesus moved from victory to victory to victory, overcame challenge after challenge after challenge by the power of the Holy Spirit, that very same power is available to those who would follow him. And so as you come in here today, and perhaps you are surrounded by challenges and you do not see the avenue to victory, that Jesus would show us the pathway. The title of today's message is Victory on Display. And that is what Jesus is to us, a display of how to experience the victory of God in our lives. Amen? Carlos going into a big old challenge. Carlos has been learning the pathway to victory for 2 years. He said, I'm going to Oakland. I said, Oakland, are you kidding me, man? My mom grew up in Oakland. My grandparents lived in Oakland. Dude, I've been running through Oakland, man. Oakland is no joke. But you go in there with the power of the Holy Ghost, right? You go in there following the call of Jesus, because where the call of Jesus is, there is provision, there is protection, and there is power. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's what we're going to take a look at today. Are we good?
Yes.
Are we good?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Let's take a look. This is Jesus battling, right? He says what? Come back here. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all those who were under the power of the devil. There is a battle between good and evil that we are enmeshed in, and oftentimes we don't even realize it. And so the challenges that we face sometimes are our making, and sometimes it's an enemy that would come against us. But Jesus would give us the power to overcome. Amen? All right, let's move on. Here we go. Point number one, the opportunity for victory. How many of you guys have challenges going on in your life today? Every one of those challenges is an opportunity for victory. Amen? Carlos goes up to Oakland. Guess what? It's a challenge. It's also an opportunity for victory. Bible says, when Jesus came to Peter's house, he came for a carne asada burrito. I don't know what they had. You know, it could have been fish, could have been something. But it does not say he went there to heal his mom or his mother-in-law. He was just going in and, whoa, hey, she's sick. He saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in a bed with fever. He touched her hand and the fever left. Doesn't say he even broke a sweat. Touched her hand. Bam! That sound like victory?
Yes.
That sound like power? Amen. He touched her hand, the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. Now that's getting well. Amen? I mean, hey, look, oh, I think I'm going to die. Oh, I got a fever. Boom. Hey, can I get you that carne asada burrito, Lord? Amen. Jesus is a healer, folks. Jesus walks around healing situations. Now, there's sometimes he went to go heal people. It doesn't say he was even aware that she was sick. Just dealt with the situation as it came up. Amen? The Lord would have you to be able to do that. That we would follow Jesus. You will receive power. And you will be my witnesses. You're going to have power to overcome the challenges that beset you. And as you overcome those, people go, whoa, look at that guy. Look at that lady. I want what you got. How do you get that? The Lord Jesus Christ. Guiding and directing me in my life so I can find victory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let me get on my notes. Well, I'm just kind of shooting here. Here we go. The words, Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever, that means deathbed. I mean, it doesn't really come through in the English. She wasn't just like, oh, I've got a fever of 99. I can't go to school, you know? No. She's sick, man. And she's got a fever. Why? Because her body is fighting this battle against bacteria, infection, whatever she's got, right? And so her body is working. She's laying in bed, losing the battle, not even moving. Some of us are surrounded by challenges. We are losing the battle, and we don't even know it. Here she was, doing all she could, just laying there, body, just getting ready to die. Some of us surrounded, beset by challenges. Why? Why was she fighting that battle? Because of the curse. Genesis chapter 3. We are surrounded by a fallen world. We are surrounded by death and decay and destruction. I'm 51 years old. I got diabetes. My body is breaking down. Why? Because of the curse and the effects of the curse. Jesus walks up, touches this lady's hand, and reverses the effects of the curse. How? Power of the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses. God wants you to have victory. To be a display of His power. Doesn't that sound good? Where are you struggling today? Where is your challenge today? Where do you need the power of God released in your life? It is an opportunity for victory, and it is an opportunity to be a display of the power of God.
That's right.
Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. We are surrounded by people who need healing. Can I get a witness on that? You might need healing, but you know a lot of people that need healing. Bible says when evening came, night came, man, he had healed. Other people knew that Peter's mother-in-law, we don't know her name, by the way, that Peter's mother-in-law was sick and dying. And all of a sudden she's healed and she's back to work and she's back serving Jesus. And the word goes out. And that evening, the word has gone out and people are bringing all these sick people. They're bringing all these people that are possessed by demons. Because maybe, just maybe, there's an opportunity for victory here. Amen? They are looking for hope. They are looking for a challenge. Demon-possessed people were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed some of the sick. All of the sick. Amen? It wasn't like he pulled back. We're like, oh, you're really sick. You got AIDS. Sorry, I can't do that. Oh, man, you got a busted femur. Sorry. Jesus can handle anything. I don't care what your problem is today. I don't care if you made it, your mama made it, what your dad made it, your son made it, your wife made it. Jesus can handle anything. And that same power that gives him victory will give you victory. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness. Question is, what do you want to do with the power? All right. We are surrounded by people. Cast out demons. Fighting battles. Pastor Scott talked about our battle. He says, Paul tells us, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Some of us think it is. Some of us think it's our mother, our dad, our kid, or our whatever. Our battle is against what? The rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil. They are the ones. Now, there's also flesh and blood coming against you. But don't discount the attack of the spiritual realm. Don't discount the need of some spiritual aid. And Jesus has it. Jesus cast out demons and healed all the sick. We have a battle between good and evil. Often rages within our own souls. We got people that are surrounded by defeat, who are facing challenges that they can't overcome. And oftentimes, it's not so much the evil that's outside them that is the battle, but they are their own worst enemies. Can I get a witness on that? We got a lot of people that are grabbing on to stuff that they shouldn't be grabbing onto. And that very stuff that they're grabbing onto is what is dragging them down, 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 down. Jesus will give you a new path. Jesus will give you a pathway to victory. What do you got in your hands? We have people that are embracing the very stuff that is destroying them. But in my life, and in many of your lives, you became aware of that thing that was so destructive to you, and you came running. Lord, I need deliverance. Lord, I need help. Lord, I need to be rescued. Lord, I need to be set free. And Jesus came to your rescue.
Right.
Amen? Amen? You know, they got those, you know, how stupid are you shows on TV? You know, and how stupid can you be? Well, Joe and I are watching this one. It's called like Imbeciles or Inspired or something like that. And just to let you know, this guy, alcohol is a dangerous thing. He obviously looked a little inebriated, and he decided that the 4th of July celebration was not good enough, and so that he was going to, they were lighting off bottle rockets, and that he would light one off holding the stick in his teeth. Now, those of you, Ed has lit off bottle rockets before. You know, when you light it, you know, it's like a little fuse, and then all of a sudden there's like a rocket. And if you're holding the stick in your teeth, you know where the goes? It goes right in your mouth. And so this is the kind of stuff that was on the, anyway, it did not come out well for this guy. His whole mouth is black, right? Okay. So anyway, the other one, another brilliant fire thing. Guy is getting ready to go down this snow hill, take a jump on a disc. You know, you've seen that, right? He's going to take a big jump, but that's not good enough. So he's going to light himself on fire. Now, that's like the imbecile part of the show. It's right. Okay, wait a minute, guy. Come on now. But so he's sitting there trying. He's lighting himself. He's got the fire on. He's going and he's going. He's going. Now all of a sudden, he's got enough flame. He's got enough flame, and he goes down the hill, goes flying through the air, flies into the snow. Right? He's got snow. It should put out the fire, right? He's down there, fire's out, he hops up, fire starts back up again. Jumps back down, fire goes out, jumps up, fire starts up again. And he begins to run. And he's going, help me. Help me. Because he realizes that thing he's been playing with is now out of control. Many who were demon-possessed were brought to Jesus. There was an awareness that this is out of control. And we need to get some help. Maybe today, you come here today, and you have that awareness, and you realize, I'm out of control. I need to get some help. Jesus is a healer. Amen. You have come to the right place today.
Right.
Amen? Praise the Lord. All right. There is a price for victory. Have you found that to be true? Carlos, did you find that to be true? 2 years in Teen Challenge. There's a price for victory, amen? All that stuff that you were doing in your life, right? You had to get right. And you even, as I recall, you had to detox before they would even let you into the program, right? 30 days detox? 90 days detoxing off what? Prescription meds for antidepressant. The doctors were messing him up. I'm telling you what. Teen Challenge would take heroin addicts, meth addicts, straight off the street. We'll dry you out. Whoa, we're not going to touch that stuff. Prescribed by doctors. Watch out. All right. Price for victory. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. And then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." And you want to come into the kingdom, the rewards come later. I'll tell you what, Carlos, you're liking your life today, right? A whole lot better than when you were using, right? It is better following the Lord, but the rewards, the payday is in heaven. The payday comes later. Now we work. Why does he bring this up? Because this teacher of the law was getting paid. How did he know he was a teacher of the law? Because he dressed like one. He could recognize what was going on in his life, and they were getting paid. They were hooked up with the establishment. They were the people who everybody wanted the answers, and Jesus did not think much of them. He says, "Beware the teachers of the law." Luke chapter 20, verse 46. This is down the road. "Beware the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes." See that? He says, they love to be greeted in the marketplace and said, "How great are you?" And they love to have the most important seats in the synagogues and in the places of honor at banquets. And Jesus says, "I know what you're used to. That's not what we really have going on here. Foxes have holes to sleep in. Birds have nests. And I don't even have a place to sleep. If you're going to follow me, there's going to be a sacrifice involved. If you're going to follow me, there is a price. There is a price for victory." Again, I have to find my pages. He says, "I'm ready to make the change." Are you really? Are you ready to make a change today? See, he was seeing something new in Jesus. He had followed. He had been involved with the temple. He had seen all kinds of religiosity. Jesus was not about that. Jesus was about the real power of God being released in the lives of people, transforming, demons being cast out, sick being healed, even the dead being raised. We read, even the storm being calmed. And this guy saw that, just like Simon the sorcerer in Samaria said, "Whoa, I want some of this." And they wanted some of this. Lisa, can you see if we can get this young girl down here in the preschool, in the nursery for us, please? Sometimes I even get off track with myself. All right, here we go. This guy says, "Hey, I'm ready to make the change." And maybe you're sitting here, "Man, I need to have a change." And Jesus wants to know how much it's going to cost. Free gift of salvation cost him everything on the cross. It'll cost you your whole life. You want to have a new life? You can find it in him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Jesus wants us to adjust our priorities. Another guy comes up. Another disciple says to him, "Lord, first let me go." Like, "Lord, I'll follow you, but." No buts involved, folks. You going to follow him or not? That's why you make him your king. He moves to the top of your priority list. He says, "Let me go first and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." He said, "That's not something that you really need to be concerned about." And you know what? We got people who desperately need the guidance and direction of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life, but they got other stuff that is distracting them. Amen?
Amen.
They got some other stuff, the bad stuff that they're holding on to. You need to get rid of that stuff to make a transformation. He says, "I'm ready to follow you." Are you really? See, he was grabbing onto his dad. Jesus talks about that. He says, anyone, this is a tough one. Maybe we could just cut this part out of our Bibles. Maybe we'll take a vote afterward. He says, anyone, put your hand up if you're anyone. Yeah, anyone is everyone, right? There you go. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Did you have to read that today, Pastor? It's Father's Day. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Yeah, we might just want to cut that part out. This guy says, let me go bury my dad. See, he was grabbing onto his dad. Why did he have to bury his dad? Because when he buried his dad, you know what he got? He got his inheritance. Maybe dad had a little cash, right? Man, I don't know how much you want me to give up. I'll follow you, but let me just get hooked up. Oh, yeah, you know what I'm talking about now, right? You're not asking too much. Jesus says, no, I'm asking everything. See, Jesus says, you're going to follow me. There needs to be a reordering of your priorities. And you might be sitting there going, I'm not ready to do that. I'm not going to make it. I'm just letting you know. Let's not play a game. Jesus says, let's not play a game. You're going to follow me. You got to follow me. You want to play a game. You want to play a game. You are in a battle of life and death between good and evil. The battle is not against flesh and blood. Emilio, right? Look at this dude. Stand up, bro. Is this guy giant? Flesh and blood. Thank you, Emilio. I mean, look at Mike. Mike's 6'1", 6'2". Joe is 6'3". As big and bad as you guys are, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the authorities in this world and in the heavenly realms. He says, you want to play a game? Watch out, you're playing for keeps. Don't go into this battle unarmed. Because if you're going to move from darkness into light, it's a whole new game. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I'm going to ask Mike to come up here. You can check this mic first, Mike. Yes, yes. You hear me all right? Hear me on that? There we go. Come on up here, Mike. Mike and Eva. Where's Eva? Cooking? Oh, man. I forgot. Well, anyway. All right. You had a pretty good week.
Yes, sir.
Talking to that mic so we can get it.
Yes, sir.
You told me something happened on Wednesday. Tell me what happened on Wednesday.
On Wednesday, message was again about touched by God. And I was sitting there saying to myself, man, I wouldn't be touched by God. I don't know if I've ever really been touched by God. You know, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior and stuff, but I don't know I've been touched by God. And so the message in there that I caught was being touched by God, and the example that the guy was testifying about was being touched by God. And so that's what I started praying for, is, you know, I want to be touched by God, you know.
So then, that's Wednesday. So Thursday, come in, and you've been looking for a job for how long, bro?
Since the beginning of the year.
Since the beginning of the year. And you've been looking for a place for how long?
For about since March. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you've just been moving from place to place to place,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
All right. So Thursday, Wednesday night, he prays that prayer. And I'll tell you what, he's been doing some cool stuff that I've been just proud as I can be for some of the choices that he's making. They come in Thursday morning, and he's there, and Eva and Sharon says, do you know anybody who wants to do any caregiving? I go, how many hours, Sharon? It's like 100 hours a month. I'm like, really? Sharon's blind. I'm going to Mike right there, you know. They take him out there. They got to have a car. I said, okay, we got to get a car. And then I had just come from a place, right, that they could possibly rent. So I'm saying, okay, Mike, hey, we're going to work out a place, a job, and a car in one morning. Now, that's the morning after he prayed the prayer of God. I really want to be touched by you. So I go, look, I'm going to go talk to this lady about the place. when I come back, you're going to have a job with Sharon. So I go back, go do this thing for 50 minutes, come back, and I got the job. He goes, I got the job, but I got to get the car. I said, okay, let's go get the place. We go meet the lady, meets the lady. Now he's got a job and he's got a place. Praise the Lord. You guys moved in yesterday. Mike Hinson helped him move. A little applause for Mike Hinson. Praise the Lord. And they're frantically trying to help Chun find a new car so that she will sell them their old car. He will have a job, a place, and a car. Yeah. Hallelujah. Pretty good Monday, or Thursday, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, all the work is still continuing on, but we're also building up toward a big day on the 22nd.
Yes, sir.
Anything special you want to tell us is going to happen on that day?
We're getting married on the July 22nd.
July 22nd. Now, how long have you been working on that? A while, right?
A couple years.
This is what's going to happen, and you guys are all invited. The 22nd, we are going to marry them during church, Sunday morning, and that night we're going to have our first beach barbecue, and we're going to have a reception afterward. You're all invited. Amen? All right, let me see. See, when you move from darkness to light, all of a sudden stuff starts happening. Can I get a witness on that? See, you got challenges. He had challenges. Jesus will guide you through your challenges into victory. The same power that was available to Jesus is available to you.
Amen.
Power of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
Oh, man, I'm glad I came to church today. Glory to God. All right. Picture of victory. Jesus calls us into challenge. Jesus, do you believe that?
Yes.
Carlos going to Oakland. Yeah, I got a challenge. He does. He got into the boat with his disciples. Remember, they're going to the other side, Sea of Galilee. He got into the boat with his disciples. Okay, we're talking probably the 12 here. Without warning, a furious storm whipped up the sea, came on the lake so that the wave swept over the boat. Jesus was sleeping, getting wet and sleeping. Okay. The disciples went, woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. We're getting ready to die. They were going to cross the Sea of Galilee, get to the other side. His disciples, almost half, say at least a third, were fishermen. John and James, Peter and Andrew, all fishermen. They lived and worked. They had their own boats. They knew that water. Mike Hinson, he's a fisherman. You want to catch fish? Go with Mike. He knows the right bait, knows the right rigs. He's a fisherman. He knows what's happening when he goes, oh, well, it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a bad day. It's going to be a rough day. And you know what? Jesus says, we're going to go to the other side and calls all the fishermen. Hey, us, all the disciples, let's go. And the guys are going, hey, let's go. Man, we're fishermen going across. See, the fishermen, they would fish near the shore, you know, throwing out nets. You know, it wasn't like they were deep sea fishing. They were throwing out nets. They were doing that stuff. Remember that one parable or the story Jesus says, put out in the deep water. Why? Because they were in the shallow water. You know what I'm talking about? They stayed close to shore. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. And they're thinking, I'm thinking in their heads, they're thinking, whoa, it's the afternoon. It's going to get dicey out there about the middle. But do you think Jesus didn't know the storm was going to come? I think he knew. Because guess what? Every afternoon a storm comes on the Sea of Galilee. The winds come ripping through the valleys, right? But Jesus says, cross over. So the disciples say, what? Let's go. Why would they do that? Man, they're fishermen. They know it's going to get dangerous out there in the middle. Because Jesus has just been casting out demons. Now, Peter might say it, but normally, you know, these guys are not going to go, hey, Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. He just raised, that's probably why Peter didn't talk, man. He just raised his mother-in-law from the dead. He's going, oh, man. I'm just in the whole mother-in-law thing, you know, bad joke. Okay, let's move on. He's saying, hey, you know, they're casting out demons, healing the sick. Jesus knows what he's about. You guys are just getting the mother-in-law thing, huh? Yeah. It's a slow comedy we do here. Sometimes it's not good comedy, but okay. Could get dicey out there. Could get dicey in Oakland. But because Jesus says, we will follow. Amen?
Amen.
Everything is good to this point. Hey, disciples are getting it. Jesus leading us into victory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But continue on. What's that? The disciples went and woke him up saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith. That's where it breaks down a little bit. You of little faith. Why are you afraid? What do you got that is going on so big in your life that you're afraid? What do you got going on in your life that's so big I can't handle it? Why are you afraid? You come in here this morning, you're afraid? You come in here this morning and you doubt maybe that Jesus is big enough to handle your situation? Why are you afraid? Where's your faith? This is where it breaks down. See, Jesus called them into the midst of the Sea of Galilee to do what? To discover victory. To discover the path to power. The path to a witness. The path to overcoming. And you are in the midst of your challenge. Getting ready to go to Oakland tomorrow. Getting ready to get a car, get a place, get a job, get married. Oh, man! It's complicated, right? There's all kinds of stuff. It's so complicated. Yeah. Jesus called you in, he'll lead you through. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus called you in, he'll lead you out. Jesus called you in not so that you can be defeated, but so that you can find victory in him.
That's right.
He says, he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves and it was completely calm. Bam! Flat calm, just like 7 o'clock in the morning. Like glass. And the men were amazed and said, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. They just went to a whole new level in their existence. Amen? Glory to God. Jesus moves us from doubt into confidence. Where are you going to find that shift? When you are in danger. When you are beyond your own strength and you need to grab onto something bigger than you and you grab onto him and he comes through, what have you just found? You have found confidence in your Savior. Because what slows Jesus down? Not much, folks. He moved through the sick people. He moved through the demon-possessed. He moved through the challenges, even the storm. Hey, I got it handled. Why are you afraid? What is so big in your life that you and I can't handle together? What is so big in your life that the power of the Holy Spirit will not guide you to and through and over and find victory? There is not one thing in your life. These guys are battling what? Doubt, confusion, despair. They are battling their own minds. And so often the battle that we fight is not the devil, but ourselves. Fruit of the Spirit, self-control. Fruit of the Spirit, being able to trust God. Patience, confidence, or faith. I gotta go through. Goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control, all those things. These guys are learning a lesson of life. Some of you have learned those lessons. Some of you have not. Paul learned them. He says, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. Right? What are you afraid of? What did you come in here afraid of? Jesus says, what you are afraid of is that which will enable you to grasp on a power that is bigger than yourself and find victory. Look at how I will lead you through. Look at what I can move. Can you imagine what it took to stop the wind? That wind starts halfway out in the Mediterranean Ocean. Guess what he did? Stopped it all along the way, like that. What's it take to stop the waves from moving? I got no clue. It just takes time. With a word. What is so crazy in your life today? What is too difficult for God? Not one thing. You are in the challenge that you are in to find victory. Why are you afraid? He says, I'm right here. Let me handle this for you. What do you need Jesus to do? Lisa, you want to come up here? You're in the midst of your challenge so that you can find victory, so you can learn how to trust Him. Joe and I are working on that car yesterday, and we got about, we got a bunch of stuff off. He's covered with grease, you know. And I'm working on this message, and I'm going, just go out there and do some more. He goes, I don't know what to do, Dad. I said, look in the book. He says, I don't understand what the book says. I said, just read it, Joe. Just read it. Read it through. Read it again. It'll get clearer. And he goes, Dad, I don't get it. And I go out there, and I said, look, right here, clip, right here. You know what Joe says? See, we face the challenges of our lives. We're going, I don't know. And Jesus would come in and say, right here. It's in the book. I don't understand the book. He'll say, let me show you. And he'll go, oh. The guys in the boat, he calmed the storm. And they went, oh. See, they weren't used to being in the middle of the lake. They were just used to being on the edge. And so many of us will live our lives on the edge and never find the victory that's in the middle. Amen? Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord, knowing that you're mighty and awesome, Lord. Lord, there are some folks in here this morning, Lord, that are facing incredible, incredible, incredible battles. I do not intend to make light of it. The battle that those disciples were facing in that boat, they were terrified. They knew enough about that water that they should be terrified. They just didn't know enough about Jesus to realize that he would show them the path to victory. Lord, I pray, Lord. I pray right now, Lord, that person that has come in here this morning, Lord, terrified. Terrified of the situation in their life, Lord. Terrified of the challenge that they face, Lord. I pray right now your comfort. Your comfort just descend from heaven, Lord. That you would put your hand upon their shoulder, Lord. That you would wrap your arms around them, Lord. Maybe it's a dad who's got a problem with his kids. Hadn't seen his kids in a long time. Maybe it's a mom who's got a problem with a dad. I don't know, Lord. Maybe it's Mike just trying to put together a house, a home, a car, a job, and a wife. Maybe it's Carlos putting together a ministry opportunity. But Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that by your Spirit, Lord, as you empower Jesus to move in strength and power and confidence, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would awaken our minds and awaken our souls, Lord. So that today we might go, oh, I get it now. I don't have to be afraid. That I can trust my Father in heaven. That Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father, is praying right now for me. That he sends the Holy Spirit to me for me to have power to overcome every situation that besets me. And maybe that is you this morning. You feel like that little kid crying over there in that room. I'm so afraid. And I pray right now, Holy Spirit would just come and touch you and calm you. And you go, oh, I see now. That's you this morning. You come in here and you're going, man, I need a touch from God. It's Father's Day. I need my Father in heaven to come and find me because I'm afraid. I don't want to be afraid anymore. Bow your heads with me and nobody's looking around, but the Lord's speaking to your heart and you just say, that is me. That is so much me. I'm so overwhelmed with my life right now. I need some help. I need some deliverance. I need a touch. Lord, meet me here this morning. I'm ready to follow. Nobody looking around. That's you this morning. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, here I am, God. Here I am. right here, praise the Lord, right there. Video, right here, praise the Lord, right there, glory to God. Back here in the back, you can put your hand out when I see it, yeah. Anybody else, say, here I am, anybody here? Here I am. Lord Jesus, hallelujah. We're going to sing a song. And you know what? Those guys in the boat, they came shaking, they came running to Jesus. Jesus, hallelujah. Lord. I'm going to drown. We're going to sing this song. I just want everybody to stand. You put your hand up. I want you to come up here. I want to pray for you. Just come on up. You just want to worship? You just come up. We'll worship together. At least sing something, would you? Glory to God.